This week is Parshas Vayeshev. Okay, just start with a remez. Vayeshev is known as the Parsha of Tsaros. Last week, Tsaros. Troubles. Last week we discussed that Parshas Vayetze is known as the Parsha of Golos. It's the beginning of when Klal Yisrael enter Yaakov Avinu, Ma'ase Avos, similar bottom, it goes to Golos. Every parasha has a certain theme. The theme of Parshas Vayeshev tells us about how to deal with difficult situations in life. Every part of Parshas Vayeshev deals with another type of difficulty. We begin the beginning of the parasha with the tzara, the difficulty between Yosef and his brothers, the jealousy between Yosef and the brothers, the lashon hara Yosef reported to his father. We deal with the story of Yosef being sold to Mitzrayim. We deal with the story of Yosef being thrown into a dungeon, being accused falsely of something he did not do. We deal with the tzar of Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda's wife dies, his two children die, and the whole scandal, what he's caught up with, and Tzad Kamimeni. The whole parasha from beginning to end deals with very difficult situations. It's the parasha of Tzaros. And the only thing to keep us through difficult times in life is the Rashi Tevos of the first word of this week's parasha, Vayeshev, which is Rashi Tevos, not in order, but all the words, all the letters stand for the expression, V'yivtechu v'cha yodei shemecha, bitachon. V'yivtechu v'cha, they will have faith in you, those who know your name. V'yivtechu v'cha yodei shemecha. Those four words are the Rosh Tevos of Vayeshev, Vav Yud Shin Beis, to teach us the key, the critical ingredient we need to get through difficult situations in life is to have pure emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's now go to a quick var. One of my favorite verlochim in this parasha is Yaakov Avinu, he made for Yosef the Kesoinis Pasim. Why? Because he was the Ben Zikunim. The Ben Zikunim is his youngest son, the son that was born to him in his old age. The Baal HaTum is a famous Baal HaTum that tells him the word Zikunim. What does he mean as a Ben Zikunim? Yaakov Avinu gave over to Yosef everything that he learned in the Beis Medrash of Shein Ve'Ever. Zikunim is Rosh Tevos, Zeroim, Kof is Kachim, Nun is Noshim, Yud is Yehoshuos. Yehoshuos is another term Chazal used for Seder Nizokin. Nizokin. And Mem stands for Moed. So these are five of the six Sidarim of Mishnah. The Torah, the Messiah of Torah, was given over by Yaakov to Yosef. Yaakov gave over, it's hidden to in Ben Zikun. This is what it says in the Baal HaTum. The famous question all the Mefarshim ask is, what about the sixth Seder? There are six Sidarim in Mishnah. The sixth Seder is Seder Taharos. Why is that absent from this, the acronym of Zikunim? And the answer is, you can't teach a person Tahara. Tahara, the Seder of Taharos, you have to learn yourself. You can take the horse to the well, but you can't make him drink. You can teach a person all the laws of Moed, Noshim, Nizokin, Kachim, but Tahara, purity of one's neshama, that is something a person must work on himself and experience himself. Indeed, the Mefarshim point out, they connect this Ben Zikunim to next week's parasha, when Yaakov Avinu, he saw the Agolos, Batechi, Ruach, Yaakov Avihem, what gave Yaakov Avinu life when he saw the Agolos? What is the Agolos? It's Merames on the Egla Arufa. What is Egla Arufa? How do we conclude Egla Arufa? Kaper la'amcha Yisrael. Atone for Klal Yisrael. You only can achieve a degree of atonement when there is Tahar. The whole Yom HaKippur is all about is Lufnei Hashem Titoru. In order to achieve atonement is to come Lufnei Hashem is to achieve a degree of Tahara. When Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef Avinu, he sent the Agolos, who was basically saying to his father, you have taught me, I was your Ben Zikunim, you taught me Seder Zeroyim and Kachim and Moed and Nizokin and Noshim. But Taharos in Mitzrayim, I survived the ordeal in Mitzrayim, 22 years in Mitzrayim, I have learned on my own Seder Taharos. And that is hinted to in the Egla Arufa, the Chaper Lohem, and the Chaper Lohem Hadam. Kapara can only be achieved through Tahara. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah? Yehoshua. So you can look. That's Seder Nizokin.
Because
where in Chazal is Yehoshua mentioned? I don't know where it's said. You look in the Bella. Yeah. Chochmas itecha choisin Yeshuos chochma vodoas. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Where in Yeshaya? I don't know. The Hoya emunas itecha. Chosen Yeshuos Chochmos Vodoas. Yehoshuos Chazal interpret is a reference to Seder Nizokin. You look in this pasuk here in the parasha in the Baal HaTuv on the page, it tells you this acronym. Okay, so Tyrus is something Tyrus you work on your own. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this week every Shabbos we lay in the Haftarah. We all know that, but we should be aware that this week's Haftarah is a very special Haftarah. Why? Why in general do we read the Haftarah? There are many reasons, but one of the most popular reasons is that there was a time of Shmat where the Goyim did not allow us to study to read Torah. And they would send into shul inspectors to make sure that we were not reading the Torah. What did Chazal enact at that time? Instead of reading the Torah, we should not forget, we'll read the Haftarah, we'll take out a Navi, and we'll read 21 psukim. There are 7 aliyos in the parsha. There are 7. Each aliyah must be at least 3 psukim. So we'll take those 3 psukim. We'll multiply it by 7. We'll read at least 21 psukim. That's why almost every haftarah has at least 21 psukim to correspond to Kriyas HaTorah, which has to have 7 oilim, and each oilah has to have at least 3 psukim. So this will be a token, a remember, a zecher that once upon a time we had Kriyas HaTorah. Years later, the Gezeres Hashmat was lifted. The Jews prevailed over the Goyim, was rescinded, and once again they were allowed to learn from the Torah. But since they were so accustomed learning from the Torah, Haftarah, so they kept the Masorah, they kept and learning from the Haftarah. This is one of the most popular reasons as to why we continue Bizman Hazeh to learn the Haftarah. Meaning, obviously, a reminder of the Gezeres Hashmat when we were not allowed to read from the Torah, so we read the Haftarah. And of course, that's why the Haftarah always has a theme from the Parsha in order to remember what parsha it should be, so we learn from a section in Navi which captures the theme of the parsha. I was speaking recently to my aunt. She's a teacher, a high school teacher in Chicago, and one of the assignments she gives her class every week is going on for years is to find the connection between the Haftarah and the parsha. And she told me she never ceases to be amazed at connections that students make between the Haftarah, but they're always obvious connections. This week's parsha, the obvious connection is the first words that Yosef Ashloisha Kishay Shal Alba Lotish Alba Lo Ashivanu. And what does it say? Al Mikram Bakesef Tzadik. They sold the Tzadik Yosef for shoes. Bavur Ve'evyon Bavur Na'alayim. I mean, what more can you possibly want? What greater connection can you have between the Haftarah and the parsha? But there are many layers of connection. So this is the Haftarah. Now, why am I telling you that Haftarah is so significant? Because if you study the Mefarshim, when was this Gezeres Hashmat, that you're not allowed to learn the Torah? It's very clear in all the big books where the source come from. It was during the time of Chanukah. The Chanukah leading up to the time of the Chashmayim, what was the Gzer Lahaviram Mechukei Ritznecha Lashkicham Torah Secha Ulaviram Mechukei Ritznecha, built into Lehashkicham Torah Secha, wasn't just that they closed down all of the yeshivas. Built into Lashkicham Torah Secha was they did not allow the Jewish people to lay in the Torah, Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos morning. This Gezerah took place in the 50 years leading up to the miracle of Chanukah. All of the Gezeres of Shmat that we learn about that are associated with Chanukah, Bris Milah, and Chodesh, and Shabbos, and all of the things that we mentioned, Chazal, that were part of the Gezeres HaShmat, it was a 50-year period. The time, the difficult period of time. And that 50-year period ended with the Nitzachon of the Chashmonaim over the Syrian Greeks, over the Yavanim. One of those Gezeres that was enforced for 50 years was the prohibition to read from the Torah. Therefore, they instituted the leaning reading of the Haftarah. Parshas Vayeshev is the parsha that begins the Chanukah season. The events of a week are always found in the parsha before the event. Sometimes, in fact, Parshas Vayeshev is the first day of Chanukah. When you have a Chanukah, that is the first Shabbos, a double Shabbos Chanukah. First day Chanukah, last day Chanukah. Shabbos, usually it's Parshas Vayeshev is Shabbos Chanukah.
Within the last couple of years, Vayeshev was the only Shabbos
Chanukah. So Vayeshev is always the opening season. There are multiple references. There are many remarks. I'll give you one of the very important remarks in a few moments. But one of the very but Shabbos Vayeshev, you look in the Sfarim, is all the remarks of Chanukah are to be found in Parshas Vayeshev. It's the opening of the season of Chanukah, and therefore the Haftorah is really the main Haftorah, the first Haftorah. There's something significant about the first. You can't deny that. There's a very significant thing about the first. And therefore, this Haftorah is basically the first Haftorah of the Haftoros, that at least when we look back at the significance of reading Haftorah, this plays a very special, significant role. And indeed, it's very interesting. What's the end of the Haftorah? The end of the Haftorah, Parashas Vayeshev, is Aryeh Shog Mi Lo Yira. Hashem Elokim Diber Mi Lo Yinove. This pasuk to a very large degree captures the whole essence of a Navi. They'll have all the Sfarim, Yeshua, Shaftim, Shmuel, Malachim, and the Nevi'im Achroinim. What is a Navi? What is a Navi? Nivsif, Hassan, there are multiple Sfarim that try to tell us what a Navi is. But you have to start with this pasuk. The pasuk makes it very clear. The Mashal, Aryeh Shog, a lion roars, Mi Lo Yira. When Hashem Elokim speaks, Mi Lo Yinove, the Navi has no choice but to relay the message. That's the concluding words of this Haftarah, the concept of the koyach of a Navi. And Chazal said, the message of the Navi, this is very powerful, it's like a lion that's roaring, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is roaring, he's roaring, and he speaks through the prophets. It's a powerful message, it's a powerful pasuk. I'm not going into detail what this pasuk means, I don't even know what it means, but it's a very, just reading the words of the pasuk are very powerful. And it's significant, we should take note, this is how you end off the Haftarah for this week, and this week is the opening game. It's the opening game of Haftarah season. Because the Haftarah cycle started, at least from our perspective, with the we trace it back to the Tkuf of Chanukah. Parashas Vayeshev is the opening of the Chanukah season, and this is the Chanukah seasons when the Haftarahs were enacted, and this is the Haftarah. This Haftarah is a special Haftarah, has hidden message of what the purpose of the Haftarah is all about, the Koyach of the Nevi'im. Now that we mentioned that we have, this week is the opening week of Chanukah, let's look at the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha, there's a very interesting Rashi. Parasha begins, Vayesh of Yaakov, Yeretz, Mugrav, Yeretz, Kanan. We right away are introduced to Yosef, Eila Toldos Yaakov. Who are the Toldos of Yaakov? Yosef. Then, what about Yosef? Well, he was 17 years old. He was a shepherd, together with his brothers. And he was a nar, and he hung out with the Bnei HaShvachos. And Yosef brought Lashon Hora El Avim. Question Rashi is, why are we focusing on Yosef, the Toldos of Yaakov? So Rashi says, Rashi right away explains El Achash Akasa, that he connects the end, this the beginning of this week's parasha to the end of last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, the last Aliyah mentioned the Alufim of Esav, the 11 chiefs, and it's frightening. Esav developed, grew, became incredibly powerful, and Klal Yisrael at this point in time was a very small 70 souls, not even, just began to start out.
That's the inverse direction.
So it's frightening that we would be crushed by the koyach of Esav, especially after Yaakov stole the brachos from Esav. Esav is Yaakov. So Rashi over here tells us, don't worry about Rashi. The first Rashi goes on to say, Dovarach, I'm jumping ahead. Rashi goes on to say, Vayeshev Yaakov. What is the parashah of Vayeshev Yaakov? Ha-pishtoni hazeh nichnasu gemalov tu'unim pishton. It's a mashal. This week's parasha opens up with a mashal. The mashal is the pishtoni, an individual who deals with flax. Flax is combustible, flammable. It's very dangerous. It's very sensitive to fire, to heat. And this pishtani, he's traveling with gemalov, camels loaded to the sky with flax. A pachmi means a smith. A smith, he bangs metal and sparks fly out. The smith, Toma, he sees this person traveling with all these camels full of flax, and he gets scared. Ano yikones kol ha-pishton hazeh. Where is this guy going? Okay, that's all Rashi says. Hoya pikeach echad neshev. There was a wise man that saw that the smith was disturbed and said to him, you don't have to worry. One spark, nitzoitz echad yoitzei mima puach shelcha. One spark comes out of your anvil. Of your bellows, shesoreif eskulo, will destroy all of this person's flax. So here it goes further. The Rashi concludes the mashal. Kach Yaakov ra kol halufim. We connect last week's parasha to this week's parasha. Kol halufim aksudim lamala. Tama, he wondered. V'amar mi yuchon chabois eskulo lichbois eskulo. How are we going to conquer? How will we conquer? Overcome, well, his lichbash. Lichbash means, okay, to whatever it means here, how you interpret it. So, maksiv lamata. So, right away, Hashem says to Yaakov, Yaakov, do not worry. You have a son, Yosef, and Yosef is going to be Eilat Holos Yaakov Yosef. Luchsiv, it says, in Ovadia, the Hoya base Yaakov Eish, Uves Yosef Lehava, will be a flame, Uves Esav Lekash, Nitzaitz Ech Yoitzei Miyoitzef Shemechale Vesoreif Eskulam. Okay, so the question is, this is what Rashi says. We read this Rashi, we all learned this Rashi multiple times. The question though is, what in the world is going on? Over here we're dealing in a situation where Yaakov Avinu is not planning on destroying Esav. That's not what the goal is. And also, what's the mashal? The mashal is, you have a person who's a smith, and he sees, he's standing in the street, and he sees a person with gemalim, traveling, and where's the person going with the gemalim? And someone says, don't worry, one spark will come out of your shop and will destroy all of the flax. Really? And you know what the consequences are? If a spark comes out of my shop and burns down and destroys all the flax, the person who owns the flax will come and kill me for destroying his parnasa. Why? Well, you wouldn't want to do that. Adaraba, if you see someone coming with flax and you have fire, you're going to run away, because if your fire is going to damage your friends, your neighbors' flax, you're talking about a day in court, and it's going to be trouble. No one's going to come out as a winner. So what's going on over here? Is Yaakov Avinu going to war with Esav? We don't find that. Adaraba, we don't find anywhere that Yaakov Avinu, Parash Yitzchak was last week. We don't find that Yaakov Avinu is going to war with Esav. We were living in Golis for all these years. So what's going on? So I saw a very beautiful interpretation to this mashal from Sefer Nachalas Pinchas. I don't remember who the Mechaber is. It's a new Sefer. It's floating around in some of the shuls. They give it out for free to a lot of people. Nachalas Pinchas. And he writes there, the mashal is very simple. The person who's going with the camel, when he goes in the street and he sees that there's fire, the person who has all the camels stays away. In other words, the person over here is the smith. He has a shop. And the person who has a shop is in the street. And he sees someone is going through with tractor trailers full of flax. So he says, I'm afraid that now I'm going to have to... He's going to take up all the space. I'm not going to be able to live anymore. I'm not going to be able to have any room for my kelim. There's someone who's moving into town that takes up a lot of space. He occupies all of the streets, takes up all the parking spots. The quality of life is going to change for the worse, because a person here is flax is something which takes up a lot of space. So he was very upset. The quality of life in the community, in this chotzer, will be diminished. A wise man says, you don't have to worry. No one's going to come here and move into your neighborhood. Because since that person has flax and you have fire, the person who owns the flax knows to stay far away. He knows that it's his own interest. He doesn't want to bring his flax near this courtyard so that the spark should not ignite his flax and he'll be left with nothing. So just by seeing, the koyim means when he sees that you have sparks coming out of your shop, the sight of those sparks is enough for him to distance himself from you and not come to any confrontation. No engagement, no debate, no dialogue. there is separation. So said over here, Yaakov Avinu, he sees Esav. Yaakov Avinu has no intent whatsoever to go to war. That's not the Jewish way for Yaakov Avinu to go and to conquer and to destroy Esav. But Yaakov Avinu is afraid he'll be squashed. Esav is massive. Look at all the aloof from the previous parasha. What's going to be? We're going to be under their influence. The quality of life in this world is going to be reduced, is going to be defiled very quickly, very fast, because of the koich of Esav. Hashem says to Yaakov, you need not worry. All Esav needs is to see you. And when he sees that you have a son Yosef, he sees the koyach of Yosef Avinu, they themselves will stay away from you. And when they stay away from you, mimela, you'll be able to develop and to grow and to thrive in the ways of Torah. Like we mentioned, the Chazon Ish, the goal is you don't have to necessarily have bracha. You just have to make sure you don't get distracted, you don't get influenced, come on, negative influence. This is really what, this is the introduction to Parashas Vayeshev, and this parasha is the introduction to Chanukah. What is the Ner Chanukah all about? Ein lanu rishus lehishtamesh bohem elo lerosam belvad. Where do we put the Chanukah menorah? Al Pesach Beisai, al Samach lePesach Beisai, mibachutz, for the world to see. The miracle of Chanukah is a miracle. The world sees the koyach of Klal Yisrael, and they stay away. They don't bother us. Chanukah is not just the miracle where we overcame. How do we interpret Chanukah on a very simple level? Oh, there was a war. There was a war and we won. That's not shot. The war is not that we won. The war is they left us alone. We overcame them. We got them off our backs. We had no intent to conquer the world. By the Umos Olam, what does it mean to win a war? To win a war means we subjugate you. The enemy no longer exists. So did we achieve the world was the Syrian Greeks were trying to destroy us, and we went to war. Yibayrin biyad chaloshim, rabin biyad matim, mitzvim biyad ham. What? So we won. So the world doesn't exist. The whole world is Jewish. That's not what we won. What we succeeded is we established our independence. The goyim now had a different frame of mind. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. They are holy people. They are Am Levadad Yishkon. We're not going to bother you. We're going to let you develop and grow in Yerushalayim and Torah as you wish. That's the success of Chanukah. That's the marshal of this week's parsha. When the Baal HaGamolim, when he comes full of his flax, and he sees that there are sparks coming out of this street, he sees out of the manhole there are sparks. He's, you know what? It's not a good idea for me to drive down this street. I'm traveling with a tractor trailer full of gasoline, and if it comes in contact with some fire, it's going to explode. I'm not going to drive down this street. I'm going to stay away. That's what the Bikech told the Baal HaGamalim. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov. You're afraid of Esav. They're going to overrun you. They're going to destroy Klal Yisrael. When Esav sees the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, which is captured in the Koyach of Yosef specifically, because Yosef was the one that was able to excel in a non-Jewish environment, in Mitzrayim, among the Goyim, they stay away. We makir that Hashem is with you. We distance ourselves from you. This, in essence, is the theme of Chanukah. Chanukah are the Neros Chanukah, which the world sees. And when they see those Neros Chanukah and they understand what it's all about, and we also appreciate what it's all about, they keep their distance and they live and let us live. And there is separation between the two camps. Yeah.
Says only by Yaakov, they will actually
ignite them.
Va'chol will destroy them.
That's la'asilava. That is la'asilava when Mashiach will come. But in the meantime, until the coming of Mashiach, we have to get there. We are at least safe. The Baal HaGamal himself will distance himself. Okay, I hear what you're saying. That's at the end of days. Yeah, you're right. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is its destruction. Lichvash is to destroy. But until, this is what he says, the Nachlas Pinach, this is what he says, but until that point in time when Mashiach will come, will be destroyed, there at least has to be separation. The one that makes the separation is the Baal HaGamalim himself. He's the one that makes the separation when he sees the danger that he is in. So let's go to another idea. We have this parasha, the end of the parasha, when Yosef, at the very end of the parasha, the butler and the Sar HaMashkim are returned to Paro for a trial. The trial comes; their case is revisited. They've sinned to Paro. There were bugs, or there was dirt in the bread, and there was a fly in the ayin. Paro had them put in this base hasar, and then yoim huledes es Paro. It was the yoim huledes es Paro, so their case was revisited. And lo and behold, as Yosef predicted, the Baal, the Sar HaMashkim, was killed, and the Sar HaMashkim was reinstated, and the Sar Oifim was killed. What is the Yoim Huledes Es Paro? So simply means Paro's birthday. They had a birthday party. Happy birthday to Paro! And this is the Makar in Chazal. Is it a good idea to have a birthday party? So everyone argues. On the one hand, yes, if the Torah tells us about a birthday party, so it must be that every single year on your birthday you should make a celebration. Others say just the opposite. Only by non-Jews, by Paro, it was a birthday party. But for a Jew, there's no Indian, it's not a good thing to have a birthday party. Okay, fine. We all are familiar with these ideas. I came across yesterday in the Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya says a whole new interpretation, an amazing interpretation. Yoim Huledes Es Paro does not mean it was Paro's birthday party. It was the day when Paro gave birth, or Paro's wife gave birth to a child, to a firstborn baby. Paro, on that day, it was born to him a Bechor, his firstborn, who would one day succeed Paro on the throne. That's the Malmo says. Yom Huledes Es Paro means the next Paro. Yeah. The next Pharaoh was born Bo Bayom on that day. So the old Paro, who's sitting on the throne, he's very pleased. He now has a successor. So he makes a party. I have a successor, royal blood. The Malchus will continue with my son. He made a party, and since he was in such a good mood, he said, "All the people in prison, let them come before me. Let us take a look. Let's re-examine the situation. Maybe we can be kind to them. We can revisit their case, and we can pardon them, and so on and so forth." Okay. So exactly what happened? The Sar HaMashkim was reinstated, and the Sar Oifim was executed. Yoim Huledes Es Paro. Okay. Now let's take a. Now this is what I. This is what it says in Rabbeinu Bachya. Now I came across in the Sefer. I don't remember where I saw this. Maybe I do. Maybe I have it over here. But I'll come to it in a moment. This Paro, this is an amazing idea. This Paro, according to some of the commentators, that was born the baby, one the old baby, is the Paro that in Chumash Shemos, upon whom it says, "Vayoko Melech Chodosh Al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef." Who is the Melech Chodosh? It was the one day old baby that was born on the day when the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOifim were re-examined. Yeah. And it was, and what was supposed to happen on that very day? Yosef said to the Sar HaMashkim, "Listen, the day is going to come. I have inside information that Paro's wife is 8.5 months pregnant. And I know that in 2 weeks, there's going to be a baby. And I know, Shamati Me'achoy HaParo, I have access from the NSA, I have a feed from the NSA, from the doctor, the sonogram. I broke into the system, I saw the sonogram, it's a boy. So there's going to be a big party, and they're going to take you back. On that day, when they make this big party, when Paro's wife gives birth, Kiim Zichar Tani, remember me. Remember what, go to Paro and tell Paro there's a guy here in jail, his name is Yosef, he was sold unjustly, he was in prison. Remember me, have Rachmanis on me. On the day when Paro was born was the day when Paro Asher Yoda Es Yosef. That was the day when it was meant to be that Yosef should have been redeemed. But the problem is, as Rashi tells, Chazal tells us, Yosef made a very big mistake. Yosef relied too much upon them. And he said twice, Yosef said to him, "Kim zichartani." One time was sufficient. Kasha yitav loch v'yosis noi modi choset. But then he goes on to, he hears the fatal mistake. V'hiskartani. He repeats himself. El paro v'hotse sani min habayis hazeh ki gunov gunafti v'chulu v'chulu. I was stolen unjustly v'chulu v'chulu. Because Yosef relied on too much ishtalos, he was punished. He suffered for another 2 years and v'chulu v'chulu until he finally came out. Outside. Now, I don't know what I'm saying is total nonsense, probably is, but I just want to I want to make an observation. I want to make an observation. Make the following observation. Years later, this Paro Pyro dies. The sun rises to power. There's definitely in Chazal, there's a person, the day he's born has a mazel. What happens on the day you're born has significance in your life. We don't know how to interpret these things. We don't appreciate these things. But Chazal say it. Chazal say if you're born on a Wednesday, that means you have a predisposition to do with one. You're born on a Shabbos, on a this. Chazal emphasize in the great degree that the day that you're born, look at what's happening in the world. Look at world events. Look at where the sun is, where the moon is. These things influence your entire life. Your whole life depends on things that happen on the day that you're born. This is a Chazal, and I can bring you sources for this. No question about it that this new Paro, when he looked back, he looked forward. What will be my legacy? What is my role? What am I trying to accomplish? When they write the history books about me, the new Paro, what are they going to write about me? So we have a right to say he looked back at the day he was born. What happened on the day that I was born? What events happened? Was I born on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? What happened in the world? What happened in the Malchus? Let's take out the New York Times and see the headlines of that day. Maybe that sheds light on my destiny, on my purpose in my Malchus. And he looks at the headlines, and he sees that on this day, there was a Sar HaMashkin, and there was a Sar HaOifin. And indeed, 2 years later, the Sar HaMashkin tells him about what really went on behind the scenes, the whole story, and what really should have happened on that day. And on that day, Yosef should have been remembered. And Paro says, look at that. The day that I was born, there was Hashkocha Pratis, Lamala Miderech HaTeva, that the Sar HaMashkin forgot about Yosef. This, like Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, it set in motion a koyach in the life of Yosef, that Yosef would be a person that would be forgotten, would be dismissed in the eyes of this new Paro. And this didn't just have consequences for Yosef. Being that Yosef represents Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael suffered greatly. Vayoka melech chodesh al mishra shelo yoda es Yosef. Vayoma hine am b'nei shol ravi otso mimenu. Hovo nishakim lo pen yir bev. Oyok Yisrael mulchama. V'nei sat rabu asneinu. V'nil chamban lomers. And the whole Shibud began. And the Shibud that began a long process of Golos and Soros Maisa Vesim Labanim and V'chulu V'chulu. Where did it all start? Where did this whole terrible event, Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef, the Shibud, the Tsaris, forget about, don't bring in now the Bris Ben HaBasarim, you could work out the Bris, you could work out that it didn't need to be as bad as it was. V'avodim, just like the 400 years was fulfilled in a roundabout way, V'avodim, the Inuyosim could have been fulfilled in a roundabout way as well. It was a terrible Tkufa, 86 years of Yisurim. And where did it all begin? And when was the Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef? It began on the day that he was born. Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef, because on the day that Yosef was born was the day when Yosef should have been remembered, Kiyum Zechartani. And that definitely would have changed things. The day the person is born has definitely has a consequence, has effects. There's something symbolic about it. We're not dealing with 21st century, we're dealing with the time of the Torah. There's something very powerful about that day. And where did all of that start? It started with a mistake of one word, a lack of emunah. A lack of emunah of, he didn't just say kiyum zichartani, he had to say the second time. He had to say v'hiskartani el paro v'hotzesani min habar. The repetition, the lack of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reliance upon his own koyach, that set into motion that he was forgotten on the day that the paro was born, the new, the yom who led us as paro, and now the male of that koyach of being forgotten in the existence of this paro has ramifications years later when he ascends the throne as the successor to his father, and the Torah says, oh, This paro is a paro whose essence is Asher lo yada es Yosef. If Yosef would have only said one time Yitzkar Tani, and he would have been remembered on that day, when this new paro ascends the throne, he looks back, the day that I was born was the day when Yosef came out of the bar, when Yosef rose to a position of power in this world, to a position of respect. That must mean that my destiny is tied to Yosef. Let me bring him into the Malchus. Let me be a partner with him. Let's accomplish things. There would not have been the Inui Vavodim Vavodim Inui Yosef to the same degree that it was. But it's because when Paro looks back and he looks back and he hears the inside story of what happened on that day, Yosef was meant to be remembered and now he was forgotten. It changes the whole approach. Why? Because of one word. When you do something in this world, you have no hasaga of how far the ripple effect, the cosmic effect of how far a good deed or a bad deed can go in starting a series of processes of events that are taking way out of control into a whole new world.
Yeah, they overlap each other.
It's a nachas
Ephraim. What?
The power of the new king of
Melchizedek. Yes.
I thought that was after.
That was after this Paro died.
But was it after Yosef had died as well?
We don't know. That's not relevant. That Yaakov Melech Chodosh Asher Lo Yoda Es. All we have to do is that 2-point piece in time. Right now, there's a paro. There's a paro that's alive right now that has dreams, and then that paro has a baby that's born, and then years go jump to Parsha Shemos. The paro of Chumash Bereishis dies. VaYaakov Melech Chodosh Al Mitzrayim. Who is that Melech Chodosh? That Melech Chodosh is the Melech Chodosh Ayoyim who led this. Is Paro. And Asher lo yoda es Yosef. Why is he Asher lo yoda es Yosef? Yosef was the greatest man in Pan in Mitzrayim. Because there's something very deep. On the day that he was born, which Chazal tell us, the day that you were born has very great significance for your entire life. Events, time, mokim, events have an effect on your lifetime. And when that Paro was informed, the inside story of what happened on that day, it was revealed to him that on that day that Paro was born, Yosef was meant to be remembered before your father. But he was forgotten about. Oh, he was forgotten about on the day that I was born. That has an effect. It must be he's not part of my life. He's not meant to be. He's not a partner with me in this world. And Melav, that's the deep meaning of the pasuk Asher lo yoda es Yosef. I don't know him because I was not meant to know him. Okay, let's go weiter. We're running out of time.
Rabbeinu Bechai
says, Yom Huledes Es Paro. Yom Huledes Es Paro is the day that Paro was born.
No,
there's one more piece that's not on. The next part is that when it says, Asher lo yoda es Yosef Chumash Shemos, that's this. Yeah. This idea, that's what I'm trying to embellish. Yes. What? It has to be 87. It has to be a long time. 87 years. What?
Longer than that. There were a couple of Egyptologists.
I'm not sure. You have to do the math. I'm not sure. I don't know the math. I'm not sure.
Egyptologists.
A lot of that history has been deleted.
Tutankhamun was in that time frame.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is an idea from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. It's a very powerful idea. This is purely from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, what was the chait of Mechiras Yosef? Mechiras Yosef, they sold a brother for shoes. I mean, it sounds awful. It sounds from reading it, frightening. But if you study Chazal, they lighten the severity of the sin by telling us they halachically viewed Yosef to be a rodef. Yosef was bringing evil reports. Yosef, Chal Yisrael had a mission. These are the Shifteikah, these are very holy people. They have a mission, a destiny to achieve in this world. They have here a brother, Yosef. He's not behaving. He's doing strange things. He's speaking Lashon Hara. He's causing trouble. They have a Bezdin. They sat down and they paskin as a Bezdin. Yosef is guilty. He is a Rodef, he must be put to death. Alright, very good. If that would have been, if Chaim Shmulevitz says, if that would have been, that was a mistake, the Pesach Halach, the Negevedov, so on and so forth, if that would have been their only chait, then maybe you're right, the Mechiras Yosef would not have been as bad as Chazal have made it in later generations. But Rav Chaim Shalom says, let me show you where the real chait is. The chait is when they decide to kill him, they say to each other, V'chisinu es damo. The original plan was, Ma Betza. Yehuda says to his brothers, Ma Betza. What benefit will there be to us if we kill our brother? And we cover his blood. Instead, we might as well make some money off the deal. We might as well sell him as a slave. He's our brother. We won't actually kill him, and we'll profit. And that way, it won't be so terrible. Rav Chaim Shlomo says something much more deep. When it says in the pasuk, when they revealed their original plans was to nahargehu, is to kill him. The chisinu estoma, what they meant to say is, we're going to have a psak bezdin. We're going to paskin chayiv, and basically there'll be no transparency. It's a seal verdict. No one will ever receive a transcript of the court proceedings. That's the sin. If you want to paskin, you want to make a halachic decision, you have to take responsibility for your actions, for your decision. If you are deciding that Yosef is a roidev and is chayev misa, and what you're doing is legitimate, then Yaakov Avinu will come around to agree. Even though this is Yaakov Avinu's child, it's his only child, it's his favorite child, if the court will present Yaakov Avinu with evidence that his son Yosef is a criminal, is a serial murderer, and deserves to die, Yaakov Avinu himself has no choice but to acknowledge that this child is guilty and deserves his fate. Take an example from Shem ben Noach. Avram Avinu would kill the 4 and 5 kings. Some of those 4 and 5 kings that he killed were children of Shem ben Noach. When Yaakov Avram Avinu came, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Hotzi Lechem V'yayvu Vuhu L'Kel Elyon, and what did Malki Tzedek do? Baruch Avram L'Kel Elyon Konei Shemayim Baretz. He blessed Avraham Avinu. Chazal seen that a tremendous degree of nobility. Avram Avinu killed, he executed Malki Tzedek's own children. And Malki Tzedek said, Tzedek Hadin, they deserved it. And I acknowledge they deserve it. I'm even going to give you, the executioner, a bracha, Baruch Avram L'Kel Elyon. When you present a holy person with evidence, they have no choice but to say, Tzotka Mimeni. If this is what the halacha is, that's the halacha. I have no choice. So the chait of Chaim Shalevitz says the chait of the brothers were of you was what Yehuda revealed. Yehuda revealed this to them. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're willing to murder your brother. You're going to wrap it up in the package of righteousness, self-righteousness, that he's a rotzeach, and we're a bezdin. But if that's the case, why do you plan to cover his blood? Why do you complain the chisinu es domo? The fact that you're not willing to publicize your halachic decision and go all the way and to take responsibility and to show, to bring out, at least to have some degree of transparency, this is an indication that it's not l'shem shamayim. You're killing your brother because you're jealous of him. You're killing him because you're wicked. And he basically, to some degree, they agreed. And that is why they did not kill him. Instead, you're right, we're just not nice people, we don't like him, we want to get him out of the way, so we'll sell him as a slave to Mitzrayim. Where did Yehud himself exercise this his own midah? Later in the parasha. Later in the parasha, when Tamar was pregnant, what did Yehuda say? Tzadka mimeni. I take responsibility. Exactly. The midah of Yehuda is consistent in the mechira, and it's consistent here's later on in the parasha as well. Okay, let's go to another. So this idea, the following idea, this is a very powerful idea from Rabbi Steinberg. Rabbi Steinberg, he has a sefer called Pirio Be'ita, if I'm not mistaken, and he is the Rav in Queens Valley, Kew Garden Hills, the young Peretz Steinberg. Peretz Steinberg, in the Young Israel of Queens Valley, in Kew Garden Hills. He has a sefer, a number of some. One of his sefer is Pirio Be'ita, and he has here a very powerful idea. It says in the pasuk, Ki Gunov Gunafti, when Yosef complains to his brothers, and when Yosef complains to the Sar HaMashk and the Sar Oifim that I have been sold into slavery, he uses a double expression, ki gunov gunafti. Why did he use a double expression? Steinberg explains, because the truth is Yosef wasn't stolen Yosef was not betrayed once. Yosef was betrayed twice. Number one, he was stolen from his father. That's number one. When the day was over, they took Yosef and they took him away from his father, Ben Zikunim. Number two, they stole him. They stole Yosef. They're saying they stole Yosef from Yehuda, from Reuven, from Reuven. Reuven, it says in the pasuk, Laman Hatzil Oso LeAviv. When Reuven saw, they threw Yosef into the bar. Reuven saw where they were going to kill him. Reuven said, "Don't kill him. Throw him into the pit." The Yod Al Tehibo Leman Hatzil Oso LaAviv. Reuven wanted to delay. He wanted to return Yosef back to his father. Reuven then went away. Reuven had to do tshuva. He was busy. He had some business to take care of, and he disappeared. By the time Reuven came back, he was already sold. So what happens here? The brothers stole Yosef from Reuven. They betrayed Reuven, and they betrayed his father. So there was a double, Rav Steinberg says, there was a double geneva. There was a geneva that the brothers stole Yosef from their father, and there was another betrayal, is that it was not proper, they had no right to sell Yosef to the Ishmaelim until Reuven came back and they told what we're going to do, whether he likes it or not, they'll follow the majority. But Reuven had a right to be present when a decision was made for him to be sold. He may disagree, he may be outnumbered, fine, be it as it may, whatever it is, but he had a right to be there. By proceeding and going and selling without allowing Reuven to present his side of the case, presenting an argument which they can think about, they can deliberate whether he's right or wrong, is a betrayal to their brother, to Reuven. Memela, ki gunov gunafti. I was stolen from my father, and the other nine brothers, the other eight brothers, they betrayed me by stealing me from my older brother Reuven, who also wanted to save me. My father would never have let this happen, and my brother would never have let this happen. And the other brothers, they acted with such aggression, not allowing someone to interfere, stole me from them as well. This is all whatever. That's what he explains why it's kugunov gunafti. I just want to add to that one little idea, which struck me. Twice a year, we focus on the Asara Haruge Malchus. We focus on the Asara Haruge Malchus on Yom HaKippurim and on Tisha B'Av. And we have different piyutim. We have a much more elaborate piyut on Yom HaKippurim, Eila Ezkara, and on Tisha B'Av, we focus on the smaller piyut called Arzei HaLevanon. Why is it necessary to focus on, and why Chazal tell us that the Asara Haruge Malchus were killed as punishment for Mechiras Yosef? So I want to suggest why you have to focus on it twice. There are not other things to focus on. Why are there different piyutim? Now, I didn't go study the piyutim in detail, but I want to make a following suggestion which requires further study. But on Yom HaKippurim, when we focus on Mechiras Yosef, we're focusing primarily on the betrayal the Shvatim had to Yaakov Avinu. A father is a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yom HaKippurim is the day when we do tshuva primarily between us and Hashem. That's the primary tshuva. Of course, Hashem is not going to forgive us until we mefayis our friends. But the whole avod of Yom HaKippurim is chotasi, avisi, bashati. We're primarily speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a prerequisite, we also have to focus on Bein Adam Lachareb. But the focus is Bein Adam Lamakom. On Tisha B'Av, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Sinas Chinam. On Tisha B'Av, when we focus on the Asura Haruge Malchus, and we focus on, you know why we suffered the Asura, they were killed? The focus is the betrayal the brothers had in stealing Yosef from Reuven, from our own brother. One another, brothers. On Yom HaKippurim, we're not focusing on Reuven. The betrayal that we stole Yosef from our father, from Yaakov. Because the father, our relationship with the father is similar to the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kabeid es Hashem, Kabeid es Adichav Yatzimecha, es the Rabbi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal said that you have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You fear your father. There's a similarity in fearing your father like you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two different piyutim. There's the piyut for Yom HaKippurim, the treachery of stealing Yosef from our father, Adam Lamakoyim, and then on the Tisha B'Av, we focus on the fact that we stole Yosef from our brothers. Interesting, on Tisha B'Av, there's the gear, the only, you don't have 10. You have even less, you have 8. There's a part of the peel that's actually missing. So we add it in. But Hashkach, why is Takim missing? Because it's one brother.
The
whole time was against our brother. It's an interesting hashkacha that one or two of the people of the Aser Gemalchus, you count the Aser Gemalchus and the Arzei Halavanim, you only have 8, I think. So some say there's a mistake, so they added another in this new machzor, they put in parentheses with the part that's missing. But Tak, it's missing. What? What?
They lived in different generations.
That's another question. That's another issue. But there are 10 Asarog Yimalchus. But okay, this is a beautiful idea. There is from Rav Steinberg, Kigunov, Gunafti. There are 2 Genevas from Yaakov, from Ruvain. We focus on twice a year. The focus is different. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this idea, I'm telling you here, is off the record. Because this is so wild. This is so wild. I'll probably get in the shop. Let's try to do this idea. Finish up with this idea. But I mean, I know it's so off. It's so wild. I have to read to you what it says. Okay, let's try to go through very quickly. We have here the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda and Tamar tzadkar meni. The story of before Yehuda married lives with Tamar. He told Onan that he should be Baal Eisha Zachiv Lahakim Zera Lahakiv. In other words, what was he telling him to do? To Mekayim the midst of Yibum. Now everyone is learning the Afyam Sechtivamis. You see Yibum and Mekayim the midst of Yibum. The midst of Yibum does not appear in the first full Chumash, it appears first in the Chumash Tavarim. And the way it's described there is Vahoya HaBachar Asher Yakum Al-Shayakim Al-Shemachiv Ames. Now the Gemara says this pasuk is not to be interpreted literally. When it says V'hoya HaBachar, it means the one that does the mitzvah Yibam is the oldest brother. V'chol HaTarakula Ein Niko Yotzei Midei Pshut Chutz Mizu. And this pasuk, it means V'hoya HaBachar means the oldest brother is the one that's V'kayim the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, but all the Mepharshim say, but the fact that the pasuk does say it in this fashion does give us a right, at least Al-Derech Drush, to tell us that the child that that's born from the union will take the place of the deceased, of the one who has died. Okay, now let's go back to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is a beautiful piece of Emes Yaakov based upon the Ramban. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that in time before Matan Torah, the one that had the primary obligation to do the mitzvah of Yibam is who? Is the father. The father. Fascinating. Not the brother. Any relative, but primarily the father. Why? Let's explain. A person brings into this world a child. The child gets married and dies without children. There's a void in this world. That person must be replaced. Who should replace him? You go back, send it back to the factory. When you get merchandise that's defective, you send it back where it came from. If the father produced this child, and this child is defective, he dies without children, so go back to the factory. Who produced him? The father. So the father is the first one in line to take the wife of the deceased and father a child with her that will take the place of his son. Doesn't that make logical sense? This is what the Ramban says. The one that has the mitzvah of Yibam is the father of the one who died. He should marry the Alman and bring the child into the world. If the father can't do it, so a brother does it. Why, that question then is, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, why then didn't Yehuda marry Tamar immediately? Yehuda marries heir to Tamar. Heir dies. So who has the mitzvah of Yibam? Yehuda. I'm busy. I have a wife. Bashua. I have a wife. He's married to the daughter of Shua. I only have one wife. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm not looking for tzaras. I have only one wife. So he says, my other son, Onan, do me a taiva. You do the Yibam. Onan says, I'm not doing the Yibam. He dies as well. Shayla. I don't want Shayla. I'm afraid. Then what happens? Bashua dies. So Yehuda's a bachelor. Oh, you're a bachelor, so now you have no excuse not to do the mitzvah of Yibum. You brought in this person into the world, so you bring him back. You bring him back. Repair the damage. So what does she see? Tamar sees his wife died. He's not doing the mitzvah of Yibum. I'll trick him into the mitzvah of Yibum. So what Yutama did was not, when the day is over, was a mitzvah of Yibam.
Yes.
This was the way Yibam was really should be done ideally. After Matan Torah, the Chedo Ego, we're not on a Madrega, we're a father-in-law. It doesn't look nice. So the Torah says, you know what, let the father do it, let a brother do it. What?
So what's off the wall?
The way it was done. Because he didn't know that she was his daughter-in-law. It looked like a zona. Doesn't look right. Okay. This is introduction to what I'm about to tell you. Okay, now comes something really off the wall, off the charts, off the record. Let me read you. I have here a sefer called Pilaos Edosacha. This used to be they have handouts. They have handouts in shul. So one of the sections, I forgot what it's called, Alei Taraf. Is that what it's called? You see it in shul. So the person, one of the sections, they took all of the things that he wrote over the last number of years and he put into a sefer. Dover Pella, the name of the Mechaber, it's not here, I'm quoting you what it says here. It's the name, I'll read you what it says, word for word, what it says here. Dover Pella, Hevi Rabbeinu Elio HaKoin, Bal Shevet Musar, Besifroi Medrash Talpios, in the sefer Medrash Talpios, the Mechaber is Elio HaKoin, the Bal Shevet Musar. He brings this Mikesivas Yad. I don't know what that means. See, from a manuscript. Whose manuscript? His own manuscript? Someone else's manuscript? I don't know who he's bringing this from. Perish Merenu Harav Shmuel Kleinemis Sal. Who is this person? I don't know. Rabbeinu Shmuel Kleinemis Sal. That Shua, Bas Shua, was really the daughter of Esav. Because Shua and Esav are exactly the same letters, rearranged. Shehu Esav, uveshvil shahoya rasha. What a bizyonis to go and marry, come to the daughter of Bas Esav. Would that be tolerated in society that Yehuda Shivdei Kod is going to marry the daughter of Esav? That's not going to go off well. So in order to disguise that he's marrying the daughter of Esav, so they changed the order of the letters. That's what it says. Uveshvil shahoya rasha, hafacha osios vikaro shua ad kan lashono. Now he goes further, okay? You maskin? Umosifot, he writes there, the Shevet HaMusa writes, im kabbalah mikabel. If it's true, it's true. I'm basically saying this is already way out. Sheyehud lokach bito shel Esav. Okay. Afsha hadover kosher. Ad me'ot. It's difficult very much to accept this hard to swallow. Eich lokach bita shel misho hoye machzik atzmai avodah zara. And he goes on to say maybe what it means. He goes on to say really what it doesn't mean. Mamish, he goes on to give a whole apology what it possibly means. But then in the footnote he has over here, but in the Gultan Sefer itself, he has a long discussion and maybe talk, that's really what it means. Okay, with this introduction, I want to say the following chiddush. Let's a little small piece of background. Who does Mashiach come from? Comes from Rus HaMoaviyah. Who does Rus come from? Lot. Fascinating. Melech HaMashiach comes from Lot, the mother, Lot, that's on the mother's side. Rus HaMoaviyah, from Rus come David come. Who's the father? Boaz. Boaz marries Rus. Rus comes from Lot. Who does Boaz come from? Peretz. Peretz. Who's the mother of Peretz?
Tamar.
And who is Yehuda? Yehuda's the father. What's the purpose of and Peretz was basically, who was Peretz? Peretz was the product of Yibam. V'hoya habichor. Who then was Peretz? Peretz, according to was the Bechor. Peretz was heir. Basically was, what are you doing when you're Mekai in the midst of Yibam? You're bringing a person to replace the one that was missing. Who was the one that was missing that was heir? Heir was the Bechor, and now Yehuda is bringing back heir. Now who was heir? Heir was Einikol of Esav, Hafle Mefela, Einikol of Esav. Mother Tamar is out. Tamar is not part of this. Yehuda married the daughter of Esav. Yehuda had a child. Heir is Esav's grandson. It's not a kash anymore. Why it didn't turn out too well?
Yeah.
Because it took after the Zayda. The Zayda was a Rasha. So heir was a Rasha. Onan was the same thing. Not a Shakasha. So he died. okay, it would have been all over. But Thomas says, no. We're going to repair the damage. We're going to bring him back. And know who's going to bring him back? Yehuda's going to bring him back. You brought him into the world, Yehuda. You bring him back. So. But here it's not. But bringing him back, he's not bringing him back through Bashur. It's a one generation removed. Yehuda had a son, heir through Bashur. Okay, that son has died. That son is no longer here. So Bashur is out of the picture because that son is no longer here. But there's a Tamar, and Tamar wants to bring back a person that represents heir. And who's going to be doing that? Yehuda. So Yehuda now is going to bring into the world a person by the name of Peretz, who is going to be the Hoya HaBechor, who's going to be Esav's Enikol. But he's going to have the biological Kedusha of purely Yehuda and Tamar, not from the family of Esav. But yet he's still, the Hoya HaBechor, he's still a representative of Esav. Isn't that bizarre? That the Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach comes from Peretz and Lot. And Esav and Lot. That's really what it comes out to. Not biologically, but the Hoya HaBechor, Yochim Ashim Achiv Hames. From the mother's side, it's Rus HaMoviah. Rus HaMoviah comes from Lot. From the father's side, it's Peretz. Who is Peretz? Peretz is a product of Yehuda and Tamar. With what Kavana? With the Kavana to bring back Er. Who is Er? Er is the Enikol of Esav. Haflev Afela. Well, how could this possibly be? Because now let's introduce a principle, a very quickly principle. We have a Gemara, Sugin Gemara, Gemara, the whole Talmud Bavli is Shakla Vitaria, and there are Havaminas. And there's always a concept that even a Havamina has weight. Why don't we say, there's a minute not to say Tachnun on Adar on day 16 and day 17. Why not? Because it was a Havamina in the Gemara that it should be a Yom Tif. Yeah. Even a Havamina carries weight. Yeah, look at what's going to happen in the brachas. Rivka and Yitzchak. Who do they want to give the bracha to? Rivka says, give it to Yaakov. Yitzchak said, give the brachas. The legacy of Klal Yishol should go to Esav. He believed in this. That's a very powerful Havanina. Yitzchak Avinu said, I want Klal Yishol to be built through Esav. He failed, but it was a good Havanina. That Havanina, to some degree, was carried through. Now even go a step further. Because what happened after Esav lost the brachas? When he lost the brachas, he cried bitterly. Vayef, he cried bitterly and he said, HaBracha achas la'avi. Don't you have at least one bracha for me, my father? Give me one bracha. And what was the bracha? V'hoya kasher torid. You have to look at the passage out of time. V'hoya kasher torid. U'faraktu ulo mi'al tzavarecha. And what is it? It's a very difficult pasuk. Rashi says, V'hoya kasher torid means when you'll be in the tongue of tsar. Then, u'faraktu, Esav will be able to break off the yol of Yaakov. We can suggest that the bracha, when Esav cried, when he realized that he lost out in Klal Yisrael, and he cried for a bracha, he wanted to be part of Klal Yisrael, HaBracha Achas Lavi, Yaakov, Yitzchak Avinu gave him a bracha. That pasuk is merames on this, that to some very small, teeny degree, Esav has a chelik in Klal Yisrael, not biologically, it's through Yehuda and Tamar, but it's through the midst of him to rebuild, to bring back, to bring back, not the penalty, to bring back what Esav wanted so much. I still want to be a part of Klal. The Hoya will be Kasher Torah. Torah means a time of Tsar, a time of Tirda. Yehuda was at a very great time of Tsar. His wife died. His first son died. Heir. His second side. Vayered Yehuda, Torid. Vayered Yehuda. When Yaakov will be in a massive Torid, then Ufarakto Ulo Mial Tzavarecha, Yehuda will say about you, Tzotka Mimeni. She was right. And Tzotka Mimeni is the mitzvah to bring back the neshama of Esav, right? An enikel of Esav, Bashua. He will loosen your yoke. He will show that Taka, you're right. There is something good. I warn you, this is off the wall. But listen, there's something here. There definitely is something here. Bashua is Bas Esav, nice. And this Yibum, that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and there is a bracha, the tsar of Esav. There's something going on over here that some nitzitz of Esav, kedusha, the havamina of Yitzchak is being restored, being brought back into Klal Yisrael.
Wow. I just want to remind everyone that Rabbi Levine will be speaking tonight in the shul upstairs at 8 o'clock.
Tonight.
Shkoyach. Yes, shkoyach. No, actually.